What's going down, podcast listener? Welcome back to the Symbiosis Now podcast. I'm Tyler Colombaro, and I'm the host of the show. And on this show, we like to have a good conversation. Every episode, guaranteed. All in hopes of inspiring you to get out there and have your own open conversations with a friend, a family member, or maybe even your enemy. Each episode, we star a special guest where we have an in-depth, action-packed, often intellectual, spiritual, practically psychedelic, and all-inclusive types of conversation. And we have a good fucking time with it. So folks, you can find us online. We're the Symbiosis Now Network, where there's some links to the podcasts, plural podcasts, because we have a couple others underneath the network blanket. And without further ado, let us voyage into the yonder of conversation with our very special guest on the Symbiosis Now podcast. Cameron Quiring, super good to fucking see you, big dog.
Yes, sir.
I can literally see you as we're talking for this one. Folks, we have begun a new journey on the Symbiosis Now podcast. We're recording through the Discord app.
Yes, sir.
We're trying to get some more quality audio for your ears. We have Cameron Quiring here coming at us from the West Coast, as far west almost as you can get, whatever that means.
Literally, the only reason I'm not further is because there's an ocean.
And you could swim, so it's not an issue. It's just, it's a long body of water to swim across.
I could swim about 30 feet.
In the ocean, it's fucking hard, huh? It's like not even possible, bro. Fuck. I'm scared of the ocean, dude. I'm a great swimmer. You know, we used to swim together, but I'm scared of the ocean, bro. What the fuck?
Honestly, I was so excited and confident to swim in the ocean near me. But then, like, the first day we moved in, we walked over there just to go, like, wow, look at this. And then we saw a fisherman there, right? And he pulls out a stingray and he catches and releases it. I'm like, I'm not getting in that water.
Bro, just right there. Just, oh, stingray, just chilling right there. But aren't they always kind of right there? Like, right off the edge of the beach. It's usually, like, the further out you go, it kind of drops off, and usually they're hanging out right there in the rocky areas. I don't know.
Right. Sand bed making a bay around us, so the waves don't rock against us, and there's no hard waves because of the bay of sand. So yeah, the stingrays just come in there, make a home. I'm pretty sure it's like their like mating area in that whole place. It's kind of nice. It's like a national park.
Folks, we're talking about Morro Bay. If you ain't been there, you need to go there. The beach is beautiful. And honestly, the beach is kind of fucked up right now. Recently, we went there after the floods, after all the rains in California. Mm-hmm. Got wild, bro. There's like a bunch of debris all along the beach right there. It literally looks like a different place, bro. I feel like it looks like you look at the rock, but then you look at the beach and you're like, holy shit, this is all like glass and big rocks. It's almost like Pebble Beach, like true Pebble Beach now. Because it's just got a lot of pebbles and then a lot of debris from the creek that runs in right there near mm-hmm. Morro Rock. It's super interesting, bro. It was a trip. I found a bunch of sea glass, like a bunch of smoothed out trash glass from back in the day that they dumped in the bay that is now turned into beautiful, beautiful pieces of glass. I got a blue piece. I got a green, couple of green pieces. I got a bunch of clear. It looks all like opaque now, you know, from hitting the sand over fucking decades. You know,
that's what's up. That's something we haven't done in years.
Yeah.
Go floating,
bro. You got me thinking about floating too, bro. The Kings River in California, Cameron. Maybe this season you need to come down and me and you, bro style, need to go float it. Because Allison's not down this year. And I don't know if we'll ever be down again now that I'm a parent, but we're going to do what we can because I still got adventure in me. And the Kings River is no joke, bro. And we would float. And I feel like sometimes things could happen, but most times we had a good time.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't blame you. I think it's definitely, I loved and cherished those memories that we have and of doing that, but it may be time to call it quits or at least hang out at the beach end and not go floating for 3 hours, you know?
Bro, I decided to not go snowboarding after the last time I tried because I fucking just ate shit so many times and my ass hurt so bad for like a week. And I was like, dude, I can't do this anymore. Like, because I have to work. Like, you know what I mean? I can't just not do anything. Like,
you just can't break
for
leg.
A week and be hurt. You know, that's not an option. And I mean, yeah, you get better at it. But bro, if you fall, I feel like I'm just not good at falling on snowboards. Just not my thing, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's Lindsay. love snowboarding. I didn't think it was like one of those things where you pick it up and then you really feel like you love it. But she's been like, she's gone like three times now, four times now. She's been dreaming. She keeps waking up and she was like, I was dreaming I was snowboarding. I was like, oh my God.
Shout out to Lindsay, bro. Shit.
I mean, hey, I'm happy that she found another thing to love in life. That's beautiful, you know? Me, on the other hand, I tried twice. The second time, I didn't even, and I'm talking twice as in two events, like two times we went, not just on the mountain and went up and down and up and down. I'm talking two separate tries and vacation or whatever. And then I was just laying there in the snow and I was like, I can't do this. This sucks.
Right. Dude, it's hard, man. And it's fucking cold, you know, and like you're cold and you smash your ass on the ground. It hurts, bro. And honestly, though, like it's so funny that a lot of people go to places and they just get on the lift, bro. Like that's how I learned when I was like in seventh grade. You just got on the lift and you went to the top of the mountain, bro. And it's like you're going to learn on the way down because this little slope, this little practice slope's just ice. And when you fall on that, it hurts so much worse than off the side of the mountain for some fucking reason.
Yeah, it definitely does. But Bryce pushed me the first time. And maybe that definitely didn't help. But I walked the whole way down the mountain, man. He was like, all right, you went on the bunny hill once. Let's go up to the mountain. And we rode that belt thing all the way up. And then he kept going. And I fell about seven times. And I was like, I'm not doing this shit anymore. I took my board off and everything, and I just walked down the entire mountain.
Bro, that's so intense, bro. I feel like that's how real it could be, though. You know, it's kind of like if you didn't know how to surf and you didn't know how to swim, it might be like you go out into the water and it's like, oh shit, I don't trust myself. Like, I don't even know. Like, if you fall off the board, what do you do? Like, you know what I mean?
What do you do?
Yeah, so like you have to, there's prerequisites in life, right? And there's a lot of trial and error in life, but we have a lot of prerequisites for the next level of trial and error, right? Sometimes in life. And I feel like there's a lot of things like that, man, like that we're losing in our modern world. The older folks are like getting old, you know, and older. And I don't think they're communicating like they used to with the transgenerational culture, like how the old people don't really talk to the young people. And I guess we could say that's a generalization, but I mean, they're not sharing all their deep, wise secrets with the youth. I don't think, you know, unless it's happening in secret. But
no,
I feel like most connections between the generations are kind of severed for some reason. I don't know if that's like artificial or if that's like literally the way it is or if that's just my opinion.
Right.
What do you think?
I think it definitely goes as far as your personal reach of your perspective, you know, but there is some truth to that because you're alive right now. You're living in this world, same as me, and your perspective is just as long, just as vast. So there has to be some truth or merit behind it because you're experiencing it in real time. Right. And this is what you're saying. You're saying that there's a disconnect between the generations, especially the older one, where it used to be, it seemed like they're wise or it seemed like they have much wisdom that they even want to express. But now it's no longer that point. Now it's, oh, the X, Y, Z people younger than me are so, slur, insult, derogatory, and lazy, ugly, stupid, you know, pointless, ADHD, depressed, you know what I mean? So there's definitely something to it. There's definitely something that changed, or maybe nothing really changed. It's just something became more abundantly clear. You know what I mean? Because maybe it was always there. And the only old people necessarily that you ran into before the internet was your own family members. And they always have something they want to express to you or say love that they didn't give to their own kids. So they give to their grandkids, wisdom that they have before it's too late. knowledge before they can understand or remember anything because of dementia, amnesia,
right,
old age. But now it's, and no, you could talk, everyone's talking to you all the time, and it's up to you. It's your choice to listen or to not listen, really. But everybody in the world is talking right now, and we all have the ability to talk to each other. And it's just crazy what people are saying. It's just like, young people are dumb. They don't get it. They don't know how to sew or something. You know, these stupid articles and stuff.
Yeah, dude, it's stupid, like, to be like so negative. But at the same time, it's so divisive, you know. But I also like to think about, like, there's a lot of careers even, like, where I think that's kind of what's happening, like, with the derailments that everyone keeps talking about, the derailments in Ohio, like how these trains keep just fucking falling yesterday off the track. They don't just fall off the track, bro. Like, they fall off the track when they're neglected trains and train parts and train employees and everything else about it, because they even neglected the fucking town that they crashed the goddamn train into. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a disaster. But when you think about it on just a simplified level, I felt like the narrative immediately was it was an accident. And, they cleaning it up. They burned all this fucking PVC material type shit into the air, and it's all bad. But at the same time, it's not that bad. But then it's like, no, dude, I think that this train didn't just fucking fall off the track because it's a rare occurrence. Because now I think we've validated that it's not that rare. There's a reason, and because there's like three or four that have happened in a month. You know what I mean? That's not good. That's not good publicity, bro. And it brings to light the real issue. And I was telling Allison before the narrative shifted into what it has now become, that they were being neglectful with their train operations because they have to cut corners, man, to be profitable. But it's like, dude, at this point of only having one person run the train and have no mechanics, like literally check out the trains, and slowly you have the older guys be like, fuck this, I'm gonna retire, I'm out of here. And they literally leave, and these young guys are like, well, I'm an engineer, I know what I'm doing, you know, and they come in and they don't know exactly what they're doing because they don't have that experience. They don't have that trial and error over time. They don't have that true essence and real knowledge, the real knowledge, the perspective on the whole situation, how different parts need to be changed, even if they don't look like it. You have to like think about longevity, these things that a mechanic knows. My father's a mechanic. Yeah, my father's a mechanic, and it's for cars. Yeah, but he knows so much, and it's so much insight that I could never. I'd have to live a life of it to know what he means by the things he's experienced when he's fixing cars. You know, like that's why I trust him. I'm like blindly, like more than Jesus Christ, bro. I blindly am like, Dad, fix my truck, please, bro. It's a 99 Ford Ranger. I need your help, bro, please. And he's like, oh, I grew up through the... I had you in the 90s, motherfucker, you know? He knows how to do everything, bro. I'm telling you, like, and even if it's not easy, he knows how to do it. And that's really remarkable because, bro, I know how to garden and stuff, but I don't know how to grow every crop. I still can't grow goddamn cilantro. That's something I can't do, you know, but I'm hell into it. But he can do, like, most everything. We used to ride dirt bikes. He'd fucking... That guy left the industry of the trucking industry. He was a diesel mechanic for fucking 20, 30 years, okay? He was fixing trucks that are going on the highway, shipping all this stuff. Now, if you only get a bunch of young guys in there that don't have experience, they overlook a few things. They send the truck back out on the road, and that truck fucking derails from the highway, fucking rolls over because one of the wheels bearings locks up or some shit. That is the neglect of that person, the mechanic. And I'm not saying all the young people mechanics are dumb or not doing that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if they don't have that experience and that shared knowledge, my dad left that job saying, fuck these guys, they're assholes. They're trying to take my retirement away. They're trying to take my wages lower. They're trying to, and to do that to someone, like when they're on their way out, they're about to retire, how do you think they're treating the young guys? They're not giving them the same packages. So these guys are already kind of pissed coming into it. My dad, do you think he left on a not a bad note, but do you think he was like sharing his secrets with all the youth that are coming in? No, they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to ask him. And that brings me back to my original question, I guess, is like, what's up? Like, are these cross-generational gaps like too wide or too divided now to where it's like there's not as much communication? Or is it literally a byproduct of people cutting corners up top and mm-hmm. all of us on the working level have to just figure it out? And then we're, in fact, even responsible for the train derailing. It's like, no, it's the people that made the decision originally's fault. The people mm-hmm. that are running the show, because, man, if you can't run the business, you have to, you know, ask for help or shut it down. Like when you're talking about safety issues where mm-hmm. fucking trains keep crashing in towns. I live in Reedley. It's a small town, agricultural town, bro. You lived here. You were from here. If a train just derailed up in this motherfucker and it was contaminating shit, it's a small town. The whole town would be contaminated. You know what I mean? Literally, there's a fucking river in the town that goes to a large part of the valley, you know? Mm-hmm. That wouldn't be good. You know, and it definitely could happen. Like, you know, and it's fucked up.
It definitely can happen. And I think the only reason why it hasn't happened to us is because you're exactly right. People cut corners. Things get moved out of just profit. But I think it also comes down to, it might be profit because of the system of capitalism we work under today, but more broad stroke of just the species as itself, as a human population. When it comes down to it, what we do, what's easier, and what's easier is to cut corners. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, money, no money, we'll still do that. That'll still be an issue. That'll still be a problem. But at least certain states and certain governance, some ordinance stand in the way of that. It's not necessarily a wall that's impenetrable, and you, because it's there, it can't happen. It's more along lines of what are they called, those breach dividers that they put in front of the waves at a beach or during a storm.
Oh, yeah.
Where the big waves hit it and it gets softened, and then it hits the next one and it's softened, and by the time it hits the third one, it's just water just slowly coming up on the shore. That's what I mean. These governances, ordinance, states, federal, they stop less, more and more catastrophic events happening, to where it's almost paradoxical, because if once they stop so much, then we think, why do we pay so much money to the government and they don't do anything and everything's fine? Why do we do this? And climate change is not real. Can't you see? But it's because we do so much that the world is not killing us every day, day by day. You know what I mean? So it's paradoxical. It's almost like it's stopping so many casualties like this, the Ohio derailment, and every other state that has regulations against that from happening, that it's like, why do we pay this much in government?
What's going down, podcast listener? I imagine that you drive a car when you're out and aboutin'. You might even have a motorcycle, per se. And I think that most people that live in the society we live in have a home of some sort. On those things, do you have insurance? That is my question to you. And if you do not, it seems like it's time to get you some. What are you doing out there listening to a podcast? Because if you are, at the same time simultaneously, you could be calling Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance to provide you with top-notch service. Give him a call at 559-638-3800. Do you not have a license? That doesn't seem to be a problem. He can set you up. Do I know how? I have no idea, but he can set you up. He claims to know. Are you anything like me? And when you were younger, got into some trouble, had a DUI, and needed an SR-22 insurance? Maybe? I hope not, but if you do, Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance can set you up with the free SR-22. You can find Alfredo looking sharp in the suit on 998 North Manning Avenue in Reedley, California, or you can give him a jingle down there at the shop at 559-638-3800. Be sure to tell him that you heard about him on the Symbiosis Now podcast, and he will set you up ASAP with all your insuring needs. Thank you, Alfredo, for sponsoring the podcast. And now let's get back to the show, folks.
I wanted to talk about protesting. I wanted to see your thoughts, pick your brain on what you think, like, it looks like right now.
and what do you think it should look like right now? You know what I mean? Like, what is protesting, you think, what's it's been? Well, we all know what it's been because we could just open up a history book. But I mean, I think, I guess what I'm really trying to say is I don't feel like protesting is updated. You know what I mean? On purpose. You know what I mean? Like, the businesses and politicians aren't going to, like, tell you how to protest in modern day, but it's definitely can't work the way it used to be. You know what I mean? People go out, people have something they're trying to get done, they protest, and they have a meeting with the president or the governor or a senator or a councilman or councilwoman, you know, but that just doesn't happen anymore. And if it does, it's more of like a political statement, so you could just post it on Twitter and just be like the crazy woke or the radical right, and then it just never gets anywhere because it's just a big ass just circle jerk.
Well, circle jerking is definitely a part of it, right? For sure. Everybody likes a good circle jerk. Am I wrong, folks? Yeah, keep it, run it. The producer, is that cool, producer? Yeah, it's cool, bro. All right, cool. Producer said it was good, guys. Let's roll it. I think that protests are sold the fuck out. I'm worried. I felt like that in 2020. I was kind of worried because I felt like it was amazing movement, and then it turned into some weird shit. All of them, because you had the left, whatever the fuck you want to call the left, at the time wasn't so defined, and then all of a sudden it became so defined, even though it's undefinable at this point. We're protesting, and then you kind of saw it shift into the right protesting, i.e. January 6th, you know, like, or like we could say BLM protests on the left side of politics, whatever the fuck. It's not even just politics, bro. It's about morals and shit. And then January 6th about politics and bullshit. It swung both ways, and it was super interesting because it was like no one gets away, you know. And I think that protests are often kind of like they're like a lobby thing. They're a lobby effort, you know. And sometimes people are pissed and they raise hell, but I think unless we were protesting like all the time, like constantly, you know, I feel like unless you're protesting like all the time, meaning you're an extremist, I feel like we're not going to get a lot of things done because there's so many things to pick, and to get everybody on board, it's exhausting. You'd have to be an extremist. You'd have to eat, sleep, and drink protest, bro. You know, you'd have to be that guy that's always, dude, what's happening downtown? Are you kidding me? Let's go, bro. We got to go stand up for this thing, this bill. Like, I don't know. Not many people got time like that, bro.
Right. Nobody
has. Or they don't prioritize it, whatever you want to call it. But if they did prioritize it, wouldn't it be considered an extremist kind of? Because it's like, okay, chill the fuck out, bro. Like, you know, sit down.
Right.
You're not Che Guevara here. You know what I mean? In the jungle of California or some shit in San Francisco. But I'm not trying to talk shit so much because I feel like protests have value. I'm not trying to shit on it completely. Obviously, we have to stand up for things. We have to team up together, unite together to accomplish changes specifically, but great things. Either way, we have to team up. Symbiosis now, motherfucker. And if we don't, then we're just going to like keep on missing out on a lot of opportunity, really. And right now, we could really make a difference through little protests, you could say. But most of them are like an ad. They're in the form of an ad. So like they're literally... I don't even know if anyone's really rebellious anymore, you know, because what do you even rebel to if society's kind of been falling apart and no one really, the younger generation doesn't feel like being so specific with your way of living. Like you don't have to be so specific. You can be whatever you want. Kind of, I feel like a lot of things are falling apart, and I think that it's a good thing, but it's also a terrifying thing because I think people don't know how to react to something like that. Like I think we're still not really aware that life is weird and hard, and we just try to fucking make sense of it, but while we're like living, a lot changes. And if we try to rebel against something, but then there's no like what am I trying to say here, there's no like status quo necessarily, because there's so many different status quos. It used to be different, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like it was so obvious with the status quo in different eras was, but right now in this era, it's hard to define the status quo. Would you agree with that? I feel like that's obvious, but it's so it's like hard to know what rebellion or protesting against or for something even is, because there's so many ways to look at things now. We're trying to be all inclusive with ideas. That's what I basically was trying to say, and it's to an extreme point. You know what I mean? To where it's like, is it just a counter argument could be conceived as rebelling against or protesting against someone else's argument, but really it's all just relative, you know?
But that's exactly it. You're right. There's just so much more and new information that we're constantly learning, reading about now, that we're just getting bombarded with so much new information, and our brains aren't capable of handling and processing all of it at once. So what we do as like the society, or as at least a species at this point in time, is we can narrow it down into an in-group and an out-group. That's what our brain is capable of doing. It's a survival a trait that monkeys have. We're just taking a complex issue and turning it into an in-group, out-group. Okay.
Right.
All right. Good people, bad people. And I'm obviously a good person. So therefore, these people that don't do this are bad people. And then that's the problem, though. It's because the world is not black and white. It's complex. It's complicated. It's not just a band-aid solution to everything, and it's going to work because it's black and white. It's not black and white. I guess what I'm trying to say is, what's building up to all this is what I meant was, there's so much information going on, and protesting is so monotonous. It has to be so monotonous now, all over day in, day out. But no one's going to notice now, because there's so much information you could just read about the next day. You have to, like, the Ohio train derailment has to, like, happen every day, or it has to be like a new page on the same story every day, or no one's gonna give a shit about it anymore. You know what I mean? Give it like a week, and then all of a sudden it's just gonna be swept under the rug for the rest of the country. But Ohio's still gonna suffer, you know. Flint, Michigan's still suffering. It's just, has to, in a sick, twisted way, it has to hold our attention for it to matter. And it's bullshit. And the way we protest now relied on to a certain extent an ethical and moral responsibility to do the right thing. But that's out the window now, because at that time, the people really did have a say. Their vote really did, at the end of the day, matter, and mattered enough to where the politicians sought people to vote as constituents. And now it's just a laborious, monotonous task in the way of politicians to continue to make more money, and then to actually get investment firms, lobbyists, businesses to pay them. Then the businesses now are really more the constituents of anything. These days, it's no longer the people who say, oh, well, this X amount of people, the majority, actually want to vote no on this, so maybe I should change my mind. No, now it's like, okay, there's a lot of people talking right now, but I could just say something a little louder on Twitter and everybody's going to forget about it in 2 days. But anyways, I'm still going to take $1 million from Taco Bell, and I'm going to vote a certain way, because $1 million is $1 million. So.
Right. It's always about money, dog. We know this. You follow the money, you get your answers. But what happens when there's two parties? There's two parties, right? I mean, generally speaking, right? Like, that's how we all really know it. There's a bipartisan situation in the United States. And the reality of that is if there's two parties, and say if you funded both parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
You always win. Does that make sense? Because there's no alternative. Like, you know what I mean? There's just, there's those two. So say if you were just an investor in society, or a geoengineerist, or a forever warist, you know, why not just fund both sides? And that way, no matter what, you can, now you have a say on both sides.
Right.
And it's not that there's eight sides to where it's harder. There's more checks and balances. There's, you know, there's just two. Oh, okay. So that's why I always felt like it's rigged.
No, it's definitely rigged.
You know what I mean?
In a sense, because of that, you're right. But I truly don't believe that it was some plan from the jump. You know what I mean? I don't want to give humans
that much credit. No, but I think it's been
that much
reduced to, and now it's been manipulated to always seem like that's the only option. But that's not actually the only option. It's just what always becomes the focal point. And I think that's just by manipulation of people having parties slowly keep consolidating back into two or one or three, maybe, you know. And they've changed over the years. Clearly, like, look at the left and the right have changed. Like, what's left and right anymore? How do you even know if you're against or for a lot of things anymore? You know, that's why it's so divisive to even talk about it like that lately, because we're so open-minded as a society now because of the internet, because of these smartphones, because of this connectivity that we have. But yet we're mad at each other because we're like, no, but this is the wrong thing to invest in. It's because money is really like kind of keeps people at their throats. And that's really what takes us to war. That's really what's going to take us to war. And if we're not paying attention, we're going to war. And it's scary, bro. I don't want to fucking go to war. What about Iran, bro? Everyone's talking about Ukraine, but then Iran's over here like, yo, we're pissed too, motherfuckers. We're going to have the nuclear arsenal. Everyone's like, no. You know, I don't know, man. There's a lot of weird things being set up right now. It's a weird time to be alive. And we always felt like it was a good time to be alive, but we got out of one war. I'm sure there's going to be another war. We already kind of are funding another war in Ukraine and Russia. Yeah. And then what? You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, at what point are we just funding a war anyways? We're funding a war.
Right.
Like, I'm not trying to say, like, you know, what we should and should not do necessarily, but we're funding a war. That's what we are doing. And because of history alone in World War II, that's what we were doing. We were funding the Brits. We were funding the European operation. And eventually it was like, hey, motherfucker, you're funding them. You're in on this. Like, by default, you're not neutral by arming and funding war, you know. And there's all these dudes that are forever warists, like everyone likes to talk about now. But there's a such thing as someone that just perpetuates war. And there's a lot of lobbyists that are for that because, dude, there's huge money in it. You can blow up and rebuild shit. If you can fund both sides, then you always win, right? You know what I mean? That's what I mean. It's not so much that it's just the political system in the U.S. of Democratic and Republican. I'm talking about, like, widespread. Monopolies often do this. It's like an oligopoly, but really it's a monopoly. Oh, but we have, you know, these different sectors of business, but it's like, no, 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 it's the same business. Like, and you have this business model that feeds each other, and it's beautiful, but it's also very manipulative at a certain point. You know, and but that's what happens. That's just what happens. Humans are good at that. It's not so much like you're saying that humans created some beautiful maniacal shit. It's just that you start basing your gain, whatever you benefit, off of this systematic way of approaching whatever it is, whether it's economic, it's ecologic, it's whatever, societal, it's social. Like that, like, it's depending on which way you approach it, you know? And so, like, I don't know, like, not to say, because we were talking about protest, not to say that they're not important, because they fucking are. It's just weird to think that some of them are kind of, they're fucked with. They're funded in this weird way. And I'm not so conspiratorial to think that, like, all things, that's all they are. But I know that, like, you see some weird shit now because there's cameras everywhere and people recording weird shit. And it would clearly validate that people are on the inside of this trying to manipulate a certain outcome. And whether it's funding it specifically, like money, but it's being involved in it. And a good example is that dude that was like, the head of the Proud Boys. Remember that dude, Enrique something?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, dude always had the hat on, and he's always, like, talking real loud with, like, a White Claw. And he always had a White Claw, right? He was a White Claw guy. You know, he had, like, a fucking a holster for his White Claw, you know? God. And that guy, apparently, is an operative, dude. He was on the inside. And that he was doing, like, apparently he was doing, like, this to save to get less time in prison or something.
Yeah, well,
did you hear about that
deal? Yeah, he got a plea deal.
But bro, so he was in the inside the whole time?
Not necessarily the whole time. It's just he got a lesser prison sentence because he snitched on everything and then Ted like opened up about everything.
So, like, he wasn't, like, an FBI agent. How do we know he wasn't already in trouble before that? Like,
no.
I don't know.
I mean, no.
Is it almost like some of the shit he would say, it was like, dude, this fool's acting. Like, what is he doing? Like, who does this? Like, you know what I mean? It was so ridiculous.
Yeah, that's why, exactly. It's so ridiculous. But also, at the same time, if you want to believe that he was an FBI agent, then you got to at least accept or understand to yourself what would you believe is not an FBI agent. You know what I mean? Like, define that line for me, and then maybe he is an agent. Maybe he's undercover or something, but if we're talking about this in the sense of this is an actual conversation we're going to have, then we should at least understand what does it look like for someone to not be an FBI agent and just a dumbass? Or, you know what I mean?
It's definitely a possibility of him just being a dumbass. Like, obviously, it's a high likelihood. You're right. It's more highly likely that he's just a dumbass. And then suck the right dick after he got in trouble because it was inevitable. He's like, all right, fine. I'll snitch on people. Whatever. Fuck it. I want to go drink more White Claws. You know?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, he had a holster for White Claws. You think this guy's... You think this guy's
but it's like a, it's almost like people take on a persona because that's the person that's acting in the play, really the person who wears the mask, the persona, right? But like everyone takes on their own persona, so that was just his dumbass persona, but it just seems like some theatrical shit.
Right.
You know, some like day, you know, I'm so ridiculous like I even got a holster for my fucking White Claws. And I got guns and I got knives and I kick kids in the face when they come to our protests and are recording us. Like, you know, it's like what are you doing?
Right.
Anyways, that guy was fucking crazy, yeah. But it was also kind of a trip to like find out either way that he was like snitching or whatever, just because it shows that like everyone has a point where they're not down anymore. They're not down for it, like really, really. Like we said, extremists, like who eats, breathes, and sleeps this taking down the system, man. Like, you know, that's fucking hardcore, but that's like really hard to keep up with. And also, I think I also get what you were saying is it's easy to also believe that maybe he's not an FBI agent, but we're all agents and we're all hypnotized. And until we hear the words, boom, now we can realize that we were undercover the whole time, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You ever think about life like that, like the Men in Black type shit where they just boop, make you forget with the little light thingy, but like later you could remember and you're like, oh, wait, shit, dude, that happened. Like the Fourth Kind, the Alien movie.
Do you think there was a point in your life that could have been a possible outcome?
Yes. Dude, sometimes I'd like trip out because my hair stands up on my neck and shit, but I don't know. You know, I feel like life's a trip. Like we were talking the other day about how everything and anything is happening all at the same time. And like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like that is a possibility, you know? But I don't know. The point of our discussion was rebellion and protests and stuff. And I think now, looking back, you came on this podcast and you were talking about protesting with your wallet. And I think that that's one of the most valuable ways, though, for us to protest. The difference is now there's certain things that are written into law that we don't even vote on. Our Congress people do. So if they fund both sides, they always win. you know, but we're not actually being like technically even asked to vote on, like, if we go to war, if we fund trillions or billions of dollars to some effort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know. It's just weird because I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, and I get what you mean, but that's the point or the drive home I was trying to make is that at least that's my guess. My guess would be if we really do want to not necessarily save our country, don't want to get up my own red, white, and blue ass about it, but if we want to like be a part of the history in our country, at least to a certain extent, of what's happening now in a positive way, and actually have not an oligarchy anymore, but actually a democratic republic like it used to be, then we really need to update our protesting, because it's obviously not working anymore. And who was it? JFK, I think, said, those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. You know? So,
right.
We need to try desperately hard. I wish I were an actor to just express how blatantly realistic I am being right now, but we need to try desperately hard to think of some way to update our protesting methods right here, right now, or else we will become closer to an inevitable revolution instead of a peaceful ruin.
Yeah. Sorry. I get you. Totally, man. That makes sense to me. Like, if we don't find some kind of way to cope with this shit, then it's just inevitable to blow up. Like, literally, you know, you bottle shit up, stop talking, hate the other side. Yeah, that's ugly shit, bro. Like, and I feel like it kind of toned down for a little while, right? Like, I don't know. Mm. That's just me. But for a while there, shit was wild. People hated each other for weird things, too.
People
still
hate each other.
Yeah, I mean, people always have, though.
People just going, yeah, but I mean, it's not in our nature, but we're
hate
also
is love,
dealing
bro,
with
right? Fucking A. Difference. And difference is the opposite of love, right? But hate is still love, bro. People just be hating, but it's just sad because there's a lot of negative energy attached to it. There's a lot of stress and weight attached to the common person these days. And I don't blame them, dude. I feel that way all the time. I feel hella pressured by society in these weird ways that don't even exist. They're not even real. Like, it's just an idea. It's just like a possibility, and we chase that shit. You know, there's often ideas that we chase into the yonder, and we don't even know where we're going with those ideas half the time, bro. Like, that's what space travel kind of always has been. It's just like, that's why that's why we're still like in the infancy of that, you know, is because we're just kind of shooting the rocket a little farther. Let's see how far they're, okay, what if we do the tech like this and we can go a little further, right? And they're like, yeah, let's do it. So they keep doing it. But eventually, it's like, hey, man, I don't think we can go any further. Or is there just a point where we could go as far as we want and it doesn't matter? I think that's inevitable, too. Like, you know, but if we push farther and faster, we'd make it happen faster. But we're not that interested because we don't, like, put all hands on deck. The Mayans must have been so jealous of us that we actually have the tech to like literally leave the planet and go to space. And they're like, if we build this fucking pyramid, bro, and we sacrifice a bunch of motherfuckers on this shit right here, and we just like, you know, wait for the gods to come get us, like, we'll go to space. But like, now we have the literal tech, and we don't put all hands on deck. Like, and what I mean is, maybe there's the industry puts all hands on deck, but as a race, a human, like, culture, nah. Everyone has different opinions of where we should go, I feel like. And that's why it's hard to define progress, because it's like, where are we going? And especially if there's so many directions we could go, it almost seems kind of dumb and paradoxical at the same time to discuss things even half the time anymore, because what's the point? You know, we're all just doing whatever we're doing. We're all just talking about whatever we're talking about. The real threats of like nuclear war and war, those are what change everything. But I feel like all the other arguments are just like blasé, and we're all thinking about whatever we're thinking about. Think about how like a cook or a chef, that's what they think about. They know that's their shit. That's what they do all day long. And like you deal with tech operations and ins and outs of thinking about things in different ways that I don't think about in a day. We all have our specialties, our specializations, you could say, right? But there's so much more to us like that makes us amazing. But if we put all hands on deck towards one effort, we could go hella far with it. But we're not going to ever, I feel like, do that. That's the point of us all being on our own trip. And it's almost like the only times we put all hands on deck towards something is it's kind of like when people are delirious and something's not good. And that may be inevitable, too, if we don't get our shit together and keep talking about this stuff pretty openly. And I think right now we're having a good time with it. But I'm worried about the election just being so much more divisive and shutting it all down again, bro. Like, you know, there's a point where we only can take so much abuse. And I feel like now from each other, we're just taking too much abuse from each other, bro. Like, and you know how you get traumatized from that. Like, we all know, like, if you grow up in a home where people yell and shit all the time, you're so traumatized by it, you don't even realize it over time that you're so traumatized. And eventually you kind of have this epiphany like, oh, no wonder I just tune shit out because I'm fucking traumatized, you know?
Right.
Not because I don't want to listen, you know? You just start tuning shit out when shit gets loud and crazy, you know?
The seriousness of it all.
Yeah. And I think that that's what's happened to us, man. Like, me, personally, I feel like there's just too much. If I tune it out for a while, I feel like I'm all right. But for the most part, we've all been beating each other up for a while. I don't know at what point we're not so traumatized to where our instincts now have been reduced and deduced to only shallow conversations and not thinking about the reality of each other's existence and the way that we're supposed to live our lives, you know, and have experiences and it not all be about working literally all the time. You know, like career-wise too, like being married to it, a slave to it, versus making an impact or doing something, and then making a living off that too. That's awesome. But most people don't do that, and it's not because they don't want to; it's because it's not possible. It's kind of like recently, I was listening to some news outlet, and they're talking about how more people work part-time jobs than ever, and it's like, yeah. Because all these people don't even want to give you benefits anymore for working full time. And then on top of that, they don't want to give you full time because they have to give you benefits then. So in fact, they make sure that when you're hired as part time, but you work like 37 and a half hours a week, but you're technically part time, you know, because we don't want to give you the actual package and everything, but you have to be here almost 40 hours a week. So you're basically working full time.
Right.
You know, there's loopholes.
We were saying
those loophole shit.
There's a way we can cut corners. We're going to cut corners. And that's the whole point of government bureaucratic bullshit and monotony of it all.
And that's what's wrong with our food system, too. You know, it goes there. So I love talking about that. But in a nutshell, it goes there. If we just cut too many corners, bro, this is how things start happening. You know, we're talking about the train derailment in Ohio, right? Which Ohio is for lovers. Just saying. But the reality is with contaminations like that, bro, imagine if that happened in the food system. Like somehow, like some kind of, I don't know, E. coli things happen. But something else, I don't know. You get what I'm saying? Like if somehow there was a cart on that train that they burned all that fucking vinyl chloride, right? And it all just like contaminated the car behind it full of citrus. And then they still sold that citrus or something. Like imagine. Those kind of things probably happen more often, are going to happen more often than we think. And it's kind of scary to think because there's not a lot of oversight. You know, these things are so grand.
That's why there's commercials in the middle of the night that there's just some lawyer that's saying, if you were involved with X, this such and such, this event in Texas on a military base, you may be entitled to compensation. Because that's just the way of the nature of the beast, you know.
And the person they're trying to contact is like the person that stays up and watching fucking random infomercials at midnight. They're like, this guy, that's one of the side effects. They just can't sleep and they fucking sit up and watch infomercials, and we're gonna get them.
And we're gonna get them.
I don't know, man. Like sometimes, like I feel like marketing is kind of really most people's opinion. Like it's a regurgitation of what, I mean, you know, define marketing, I guess. I guess the idea is to sell money, but why not consider it selling an idea? Because that's what a narrative kind of is. That's what a hit that's, piece kind of can be. Just
clickbait articles.
Hello, everybody. This is Tyler Colombaro, the host of the Symbiosis Now podcast, as well as the host of the Cali Ag podcast, which is new. It is launching. It's ready for you to hear. Here's a little intro clip to get you enticed. I hope you can go check it out on Spotify and all the platforms out there. Check it out. Welcome to the Cali Ag podcast. I'm Tyler Colombaro, and I'm the host of this podcast. This podcast will ultimately be an exploration into all aspects of California agriculture, from the crops, to the land, to the water. Listener, if you were not aware, the state of California provides an unquantifiable amount of produce to the world. We will feature guests on each episode that work and lead the agricultural trajectory and symbiosis within the state of California. So listener, join us. Tell your friends and tell a farmer about the Cali Ag podcast. What do you think about this whole web of ideas that I was talking to you about the other day?
Yeah.
What do you think about this idea of ideas being connected within a cloud, and each time we think of something, or some inventor invents something, it's like that they're taking these ideas from the cloud and downloading them, and they're processing just data with this download, processing them.
Okay,
you know, how is that a thing? Like, I know it sounds weird, but there's philosophers that thought about that. They called it like the theory of forms. Plato called it that. I've heard friends that tripped out on acid a lot talk about the social ethernet. That's what they would call it.
You mean speaking into existence?
The internet of ideas, kind of, but like the internet of ideas, the cloud, as if it's
making
like
something
literal,
ephemeral into tangible ideas.
Like everything is that we discuss and create is really a copy and a rendition of something else that inspired us, you know, that kind of idea, that it's not so much that any of our ideas are so original, and they have to almost be a string of ideas to be actually characterizing of someone or something identity-wise. And I think that ideas themselves are not necessarily something that we come up with, because where do they come from? You know what I mean? And I feel like I'm thinking about stuff all day long. So regardless of where they come from, there's something going on in between my ears, bro. And there's so many ideas, whether they're actual full thoughts or not. You know, they're just things bouncing off. And some people would be like, oh, that's because you never quiet your mind and it's just always tripping. Like, maybe. But I think that there's ideas that like I have that's like, why am I thinking about this right now? Why do I care about this right now? But I am, and maybe that's my antenna that's kind of burnt. It's picking up ideas that it doesn't need to think about. But I think sometimes like there's a bigger calling maybe, and a reason why we decide to pick up ideas from this cloud, you could say, and receive them and download them and utilize them as almost like an app, like a filter, like a lens in which we look at and do things in life.
Well, let's
or we don't marry to them. We maybe don't marry to the idea either, right? We just grasp and let it go. But I don't know. I think there's something there. And what were you going to say?
Well, let's theorize that for a second. Let's assume that the ideas are coming to you in your brain consistently, constantly throughout your life, throughout your day. It's new ideas, and we're theorizing hypothetically that they are coming from an external source, that being the universe, God, some higher powers, some social communal interest between us as a species, whatever you want to call it. It's happening. Okay.
Right.
If it is happening, is it happening because of your circumstance? Or is it happening because it was going to happen anyways, and it's only a matter of time? Like, do you think that your uniqueness or your certain perspective is built in a way that it works perfectly to receive these ideas? Or do you think certain ideas just happen in tandem naturally, like farming and then this industrial revolution and then commodifying consumerism, and then does that make sense? Technology, the internet, social media, if are all these things meant to happen in that row on purpose, or is it that someone like you in your position is receiving ideas from an external higher source?
Yeah, dude, like that's kind of like the video game type vibe right there. If you're receiving some kind of information from a higher source, you know, it could be something even reduced to like a video game type life that we're living. But I don't know. I think about it a lot, though. I think that sometimes it's as simple as just like no one is actually in possesses any idea. That's, I guess, what I mean. Like, it's just an idea. But then when you build it, like you said, you create breeding and agriculture over time, and then you develop industrial shit to like tractors and shit. Does that necessarily mean that just because you drive a tractor that you understand like all the ins and outs and the ideas that were before you? No, I don't know. But I think that each idea does have to build in the physical realm, right? Mm-hmm. Somehow that's like the alchemical way of creating it into reality, is actually having to have it physically become something, almost like a piece of art, you know, but it's still a representation maybe of something else. Like, I often think of food as this general topic that represents a broad category of anything that sustains my life that I can eat and digest and turn it into substance. It's not specific a cheeseburger, you know, mm-hmm. It's not a specific crop only that's going to sustain my life. Food is not just a peach. You know, even though peaches are so delicious, it's so much bigger. It's a collective of ideas constantly. But I just meant like ideas in general that I feel like it's hard, because it's almost like what I'm talking about is like it's not necessarily inventions, but we have to somehow metaphysicalize the idea that we grasp onto to build upon it bigger. But if not, we're just building metaphoricals and hypotheticals and theoreticals in our minds constantly. Well,
I guess, let me ask you this then, to simplify it down. Do you feel like as if you feel better once the idea is expressed or out of your head?
Yes, I think that most people do, though, right? I think that's why they create things in general. That's why I like to talk about things, is because it's like, dang, you know, this has really been on my mind lately. Why can't I talk about it? But then it's kind of sometimes it's forbidden. It's taboo to bring this shit up, bro. I'm breaking the fourth wall of thinking, bro. You know, I'm straight up trying to gut the heart of like, what the fuck is talking and thinking and ideas? And they're all formed based off of why. What are we doing? Why are we talking about this? Why are we communicating like this? Why are we creating this world that we live in? But the machine is so big now, I don't really think any one of us is in control. Obviously, it's much bigger than that. And that's also what goes back to protesting what the point is. It's not that it's pointless. It's just that the machine is so big that you'd have to really fix the things that precede it. And if we've already built all these different ways of dealing with things upon the foundations that may have been corrupted from the foundation, then sadly that whole building needs to be knocked the fuck down and a new foundation must be laid. And if we keep trying to slap band-aids over an old broken system in general, it never works. And I feel like ideas build upon each other in the metaphysical realm, whatever that means. I'm just probably too high, so people are like, what the fuck? Tyler, what are you saying? You know, but I get that a lot, by the way, so it's all good. But when things are in the metaphysical realm, like they have to be like built upon for them to almost even be like notorious, like utilized or even acknowledged. And then we build things in a certain direction. And at what point is it like, well, there's an inevitable, like you said, if we don't deal with things now, it's inevitable that we have a war. You know, if we don't like have little battles and little discussions and heated vents, heated like arguments that get ventilated, mm-hmm. then we're just going to blow up, bro. People just shoot up schools and shit. They start just taking it real, real personal, real close to home. You know, I think that's kind of what's happening. I think that's why people are so depressed. So many people fucking commit suicide and shit. It's really hard. But I think that a big part of our opportunity here as humans is that we can just kind of protest with our wallet. And that means mentally, too, not just financially. Mm-hmm. We can decide what we put our energy towards, what ideas we kind of do like and want to hold on to. The rest of them, we can kind of let them go back into the Ethernet. So maybe the reason why I think about it so deeply is because it's a way for me to cope with my existence and my reality and why I think the way I do, mm-hmm. Versus me getting a big head about it and be like, it's all me, dude. Like, I was created to be the most brilliant man alive. Like, it's like, no, like, I'm just picking up ideas sometimes. And sometimes I like that idea and I get stuck to it. I marry it for a while. You know, it becomes two become one. And that idea and me are just fucking something happening that I'm really into. But then I later, maybe I'm not into that idea that much anymore. You know, and that's okay.
I understand. And that's
but,
okay.
But if I act like, man, you know, you don't make salsa anymore, Tyler. What happened? That was a cool idea. You were going to be the salsa guy. You know, it's like, well, I'm not anymore, I guess, you know, because I haven't made salsa in a cool minute, son.
Right.
And so, like, does that mean I'm not the salsa guy anymore? Nah, but it doesn't mean I'm the salsa guy. No one right now would be like, hey, Tyler, you making salsa? You know, it's something, right. It's an artistic thing that I was really into. And I was like, dude, this could make me money. People like salsa. I want to do this. Like, this is fun. I'm good at it. I make all these different flavored salsas. But it's like, no, dude, like, no one cares. Like, I gave up on the idea, sadly, because I guess I unmarried from it. It wasn't the idea that was my calling and the idea that I would be down to put in the work to chase, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I miss it, it's an art form. But I like to explore art forms as part of my existence, part of my life. That's an idea. Why? I don't know. I can't draw. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But like, I like to explore different art forms to bring out my creativity and for me to heal and make sense of my existence somehow, even though it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But I like that idea, you know, and something with that idea has resonated with me a long time. I'm not ready to divorce that idea. But one day, I might think about life completely different and want to divorce that idea.
Yeah.
And that's okay when those times come. And that's why I kind of like to look at it just like it's a cloud. Like, well, I guess I can just, you know, uninstall this app now because it's okay. If I don't need the tool anymore, fuck it. You know?
It's good. It's okay. And I don't think you should be hard on yourself or a person should be hard on themselves for not sticking with it for forever. I think it's beautiful for us to even have the opportunity in our lives to afford to look into something like that and an endeavor like that and be okay with letting it go, because it's almost beautiful that it was in our lives at all in the first place.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're going to be old one day, and what are you going to remember if not this moment when you made salsa, you made a podcast, you worked on a car, you bought a car, you worked on a garden, you know what I mean? These moments in our lives, we wish we can know when we are in the good old days while we're in them, but sometimes we're just too busy living our life and stressing about things to realize that we're living the moments now, and it's this is a good time to cherish it. You're cherishing it in real time because you're seeing it for what it was and for what it is and for what it could be. It's a moment in your life that, like, you were given this life and this is what you did with it. And that's beautiful.
Yeah, like sometimes though, like, okay, you were like, are ideas sent from the grandmaster or some kind of creator or some kind of programmer?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, but maybe it's just how it all runs out. And like sometimes you run with an idea because you know that it feels like a calling, but mm-hmm. or is it just part of the program, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I like to feel like it's part of the calling. I don't know. I'm into that idea of the calling. And I think that that's bigger than the spiritual or the superstitious aspect of most people's mm-hmm. opinions of what happens in life and what happens after life and stuff. You know,
I think everyone has their passions and everyone has their hobbies. Some of us are lucky for them to be the same, their passion and our hobby. And some people are spoiled for their hobby and their passion to be profitable in this system that we're in. So I think it's great to have a hobby and it's wonderful if it makes you happy. But in the system we're in now, you almost sell yourself or sell your happiness to a certain extent if you're not lucky. But if you're lucky, your hobby, your passion, the thing that makes you happy is also happens to be profitable. And I guess that's what I meant by spoiled, because some people just want to be home and be happy and be with their family, and that's good enough. And then, but the people who want more cars and more buildings and more money and more success and more yachts, their passions and their hobbies are incentivized the most in the country we live in the society we live in right now, at least. So
right, and that's like a foundation that became before the chicken. The egg came before the chicken. Like, you know, there's a foundation. I don't know. That's not a good metaphor, but there's a foundational thing that created this reason for people to stick to a career or whatever, to make money or whatever. Like, that's the tie. You know, that's the reason why people stick to a lot of things. But I don't know. I'm really grateful that you would hear me out, but I know it doesn't really make sense, and I probably did a poor ass job of explaining it, but I think there's ideas that are like antennae, like frequencies out there, and we pick up on them. And I wanted to say that I'm very grateful to know you, Cameron, and I think that we should start talking more often on the podcast, and I think that we should start talking more often off the podcast, because I need to just discuss ideas with you. I need to fine-tune my wild thoughts, and it's been one hell of a week, bro, and my mind is tired.
Yeah.
And I don't get to express what's on my mind like I used to. I feel like I'm very busy lately, and I'm always taking care of my boy, working all the time, going to school, doing whatever, and hopefully recording some podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to be able to talk about this stuff. So sometimes I'm just venting. Sometimes I'm really trying to express something that I think needs to be discussed. Right. And sometimes I'm just talking, man, you know. But thank you for listening to me. But of all people to come on and kind of say some things about protesting and, I don't know, circle jerking and cross-generational relationships. I appreciate it, man. I don't know who else would talk to me about shit like that, dude.
I appreciate you, man. I hope life is going to get better and better. I don't hope you understand that. You have a wonderful child, and you have a wonderful wife, And I hope the best for you. And I really do want to talk to you more. And that's, if that's what you, that's something you want to do, that's something we're going to do. Right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, Cameron Quirin, come back to us, bro. We need you. We're on this transitional journey now, officially. I'm sorry that I was kind of stony and I don't know.
Stony baloney.
But I'm trying to do the best I can. And I feel like also like my mind has been really full lately. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to like really compartmentalize and discuss my thoughts. I feel like I've just been overworked and underrested.
Yeah,
and I'm always trying to fit whatever. Yeah, and I'm trying to always fit in whatever I can. And sometimes, like now that I took on the second podcast, it's just been a weird week. I had to start watching Ash. A lot of changes. You know, a lot of changes. Even at the bar, like there's a lot of changes. Like there's coworkers that left, and we have new people, and it's in a really transitional state. And now I have to do so much, always, all the time, and I have to think about a billion things. But it's a good thing. It's taking my maturity to the next level, my responsibility factor to the next level. It's just really stressful. So I'm really sorry if I was sucky at discussing certain ideas. But that's really why I feel like I'm just kind of a mess lately. I've been trying to cope with shit, you know?
No, it's
I kind of
okay.
feel like that's why you ended up texting me. I feel like the calling at hand is like the God or the creator was like somehow
sending you a lifeline.
Tipped off, yeah, and saying, hey, man, like, I got to send out a couple units. You know, I got a couple, I need some people to go check on that fool.
You know? I need a couple people to check on that fool.
I swear, bro, because, like, sometimes I feel so alone. Like, no one ever checks on me, and I don't want people to feel like they have to check on me, but we all got to check in on each other. You know what I mean? That's all I mean.
We all got
to
check.
And I'm trying to. I try to, dude. Like, you know, I'm trying, like, to check on people, and that includes you.
Yeah.
It's just, I know we're all just as important as we can be. And so we're doing the best we can, man.
Yeah, I'll check on you until the day I die, buddy.
Well, hopefully that's not anytime fucking soon. What the fuck? This podcast was created by the Symbiosis Now Network and can be found on Instagram for clips, highlights, videos, blah, 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 at symbiosis.now.network. And you can listen to the Symbiosis Now podcast as well as the Cali Ag podcast on Spotify, Apple, and all the platforms. Listener, be sure to tell your friends about the Symbiosis Now Network.